We are Gringo Star. My name is Matthew McCalvin.
I'm Pete D.
Nicholas Virgil.
Pete F.
DiLorenzo.
This band, from all the research that I did, is kind of, I don't want to say a redo, but it's a new version of a band that already existed. And so tell me, somebody, the name of that previous band, because I don't want to pronounce it.
We used to be called A Ferduel.
We actually, those were our doppelgangers. We're the evil part. We're the evil.
The evil gringos.
The evil gringos.
Nah, it's the same band. It wasn't a redo or nothing. We just continued to move forward.
It was just kind of like a necessity out of touring to, like, you know, it just wanted to have an easier name.
But tell me about the old name, because I don't understand the
I mean, there were several people. Like, I used to do all the merch, and people would come up to me and be like, what does that mean? And I'd just get bored trying to explain it. So I'd be like, it's an island off of the coast of Italy. And I'd be like, you know, just tell them all kinds of stories just to amuse myself.
But what is it really?
It's
in actuality or reality. It is phonetic spelling of Pete D and Matt's last names.
The new name. Tell me about your deep research and tell me about some of the names you considered along the way before we talk about the current name.
Well, there's Bingo Star. That just didn't, it didn't have a good ring to it.
Yeah.
It was just, you know, we wanted to be gringos and deep down within.
I wanted to just name it, like, my name, but they weren't into that. Like, I just wanted to be, like, Peter Ferdinand, you know? But
he's been trying to go solo ever since we started, but we hold him back, or else we push him forward.
So when you finally came to the name of the band...
Like, an epiphany. It was like a light bulb.
When pinatas all looked at each other, flew like, out of the ceiling.
That's it.
Balloons. Mariachi band struck up chords in the corner.
I don't know. It just seemed to gel really well, and like, I don't know. I always thought it was kind of a laugh, anyways. And it's kind of like, I don't know. It's kind of a take on I don't know, celebrity culture in a way. Maybe
we love cultured, like cultured food, yogurt. I think maybe cottage cheese.
Anything with cheese and flour tortillas.
Kefir.
Mexican food. Has any living member of the Beatles contacted you as of yet?
Ringo.
Yeah, we hung out with Ringo.
We had to sign an agreement with Ringo.
Yeah,
that we wouldn't put his face on our shirts, and he would be happy.
We were
going to
have a line of, like, Mexican food products.
Yeah, pretty pissed about that.
Were we going to use his face but make him look
Gringo Star Mexican foods, but then, like, now we can't, you know, strictly, like, music-related merchandise. We can't expand into, like, cinematography and... scores.
He's a ugly looking bastard anyways. Just kidding.
Damn. We edit that out, man.
I'm just kidding.
Take me through, the band's been around a little while, so would each of you individually first tell me a little bit, you know, about yourself, where you came from, how you got there, and then we'll get into more how the band got together.
Well, I kind of joined the band a couple of years ago, and we were all kind of working at the same restaurant in Atlanta, Georgia, and I don't know, I just kind of like was friends with them and saw the band a lot, and kind of just came along. I was playing in other Atlanta bands, touring and stuff, and one day, well, actually, we all became roommates, and then I moved in, and they were like, one of the guys quit and went on, or they were about to go on their first tour, and they were like, you know, I was like, maybe I can fill in, you know, just because I thought it'd be fun to tour anyways, and we're all friends. So, I mean, it kind of snowballs
like,
from there.
How many girls do you guys usually have at all your shows? We're like, I don't know.
Various.
Like 20, I'd say, like on average, like girls up front. And he's like, all right, I'll do it.
Yeah. So basically, Peter's a really good guitar player, not a comedian. I'm just kidding. Anyways, getting back to the...
Pete D.
What were we talking about? Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of, you know, went from there, and we've all been playing music since.
So when you set out and decided to get together and make music, was there any sort of plan that you turned around and said, okay, you know, this is who we want to be as a band?
It was more like back even before Matt was in the band, we had gotten together in my basement, and we just did a lot of recording together just for fun, you know? Nick had a bunch of songs, and and Peter had a few songs, and so we spent a lot of time like just doing stuff in the basement recording. And by the end of that experience, we had so much fun that, and we all like played different things on the recording, and so we were like, yeah, you know, let's do a band after this and play each other's songs, and you know, we all can play different instruments, and you know, it would just be a natural outgrowth of that experience.
And that's actually a great segue. What is notable about the band, and particularly having seen you for the first time last night, is, and audiences are in for an interesting treat here, because every one of you takes on vocals and switches instruments in the band. So tell me a little bit about, did everybody learn to play their instruments by themselves? Is there training
I
there?
Think everybody kind of had, some people, everyone played a little bit of everything and whatnot, but then it kind of, the more the band kept playing songs, people would, I think we progressed, like playing more drums makes you a better guitar player, vice versa, you know what I mean?
Basically, when I joined the band, they sent me to music boot camp, and they, like, slaved me and, like starved me and made me, like,
2 months. All this.
You're a good drummer, but not a good comedian.
Yeah, that's why I play drums and laugh.
So let's talk about the record. The record. This is a pretty slick record, and you had quite the producer. So again, repeating the question, tell me a little bit about the making of the record.
We had quite the producer when we made the record. Benjamin H. Allen III, Esquire, Jr. He's real talented in the studio. I think he got us started up here in New York, but we met him in Atlanta. He lives around the block from us. Worked on the Gnarls Barkley album, the New Animal Collective. He does a bunch of stuff, records a lot of bands. We were fortunate enough to get to record under his graces. It was fun. It went smoothly. It became an album.
Really good chemistry, like really like seemed to understand the band and be able to, you know, let us put out all our ideas and then, you know, coalesce it together into one album that sounded like cohesive rather than
four different bands.
Yeah.
I think our focus isn't, like, I don't know, we try to keep the focus off of the fact that we're just, like, switching and stuff. I don't think that's, like, what we're trying to, like, it's not our selling point or anything.
Yeah, we don't think about it
too
much.
We just mainly do it to have, like, diversity of songs, you know?
And yeah, I mean, it kind of allows for, you know, there not to be like a front person. You know, it's like a group effort. You know, we're all like playing music. You know, we're all equals. And, you know, I don't know. It's just not, just the idea of someone like fronting a band. It just seems kind of, I mean, it's been done like a million times. We're just trying,
I think
it's
we
just
all
like
kind of felt the same way, that a lot of times we'll see bands that we like, but by the end of the set, it's like we've seen like 10 songs that are all kind of the same, you know, and we were trying to like make a set and, you know, have like albums that, you know, the songs were unique, you know.
2007, you did the UK. You're doing a little bit of here again, and then you're back in the UK. So tell me, as people who are still working in addition to being working musicians, tell me a little bit about
the strife. Well,
I don't know. I think we're doing it because
fortunately,
we get fulfillment out of like writing songs and singing. It's just fun, I think, for us to do. That's why we started a band, you know. And I think that's really the most important thing, because we've been doing it for a long time, like through ups and downs, you know. And it's like the real fulfillment is just actually playing. That's why we continue to do it. It's not like, you know, it's obviously not for money. I mean, not that we wouldn't take a bunch of money, but
yeah. You got some money.
To me, it's a way to serve people too. You know, it's a way to serve life.
Because there's a lot more to it than just music. You know, there's actually words.
Traveling around, playing.
Some people
playing music.
Some people care about that. Some people don't. No, I definitely want to, like, you know, be able to do this full time and do it and have like, you know,
just want to make a career out
sustenance
of it,
and like not be able to have to like go back to
yeah,
work.
I mean, it's hard.
Even though I have a great job, you know, I work at a bar, but it's just like a cool place where all my friends own, and I work there, which I don't mind it. But you know, I would like to be like a full time musician.
And it'd be nice to have more time to actually be creative, like, you know, in Atlanta. Like, we spent a lot of time, Nick, like, booking and just working, and, you know, when...
Making the
bills. If we had time and didn't have to work to, you know, like, in other jobs, then we'd be spending more time writing and
rock
playing
office
and stuff, you know. And I think we'd be probably putting out a lot more stuff, so...
Rock operas has me lost. I can't ask any more questions. It's all over.
We'd really like to do Taco Bell theme music. If anybody from Taco Bell Corporation, United, Walmart. No, didn't think so.
Let's talk about that. Have you had any syncs yet? Stuff that's been picked up for television? Because, you know, let's have a serious, you know, moment for a second. Where the money is in rock and roll these days.
Nothing big.
We've got some, like, commercials and stuff. El Paso, they used some music in a commercial for this
for
art
gallery.
Studio. And then in Chicago, there was a...
And we got...
There was another commercial?
We got paid, like...
Yeah.
Oh.
We got paid at some point to write a song for this spin-off of this Beatles thing that these people were making. It was kind of like some kind of tribute to, like, Sgt. Pepper's, I guess. I don't think we've ever seen it, but it's called Pepperland, and they paid us, like, to write a song for that. That was pretty cool.
So as a touring band and a recording band, what do you think about the music industry these days?
I mean,
no justice, man.
I think there's a lot of many different levels to it, you know? I mean, there's, like, the big business, like, Hollywood side of it, and then there's the more, like, you know, more like underground indie, like, labels that are doing things. But I just think it's all kind of just, like, becoming really, like, bland in a way. But there are a lot of great bands out there right now, you know, but not by my standards and my taste that I'm, like, necessarily into. But I think there are a lot of really good talented bands that I'm...
What music industry?
I know.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, it's kind of going underground in a way anyways. I mean, it's getting away, it's, like... Because, I mean, if you think about it, like, back in the day, like, Atlantic was, like, considered an underground label, you know? But they put out notable artists, and they had, like, a good, like, it had integrity. And, like, that's a lot of that's lacking, you know? And especially, like, people are like, oh, you're, like, going to be, like, famous. But, like, there's a way to go about it and have integrity and not, like, sell your soul to the devil, you know? Like, say, like, any kind of modern pop star, Britney Spears, whatever. Any kind of, like, person like that, you're just, like, it's just disgusting to me. I don't know, but I think there's a certain way to achieve, like, success without, like, limiting yourself to being, like, oh, I don't want to be on this label because it's, like, you know, I'm selling out. You know, that's just, like, a really, like, you know, an idea that I just don't like. Because I think you can, like, sign with anyone and, like, still carry on and do what you want to do and, like, be who you want to be and, like, still be successful at it. Yeah, we're just talking with a couple. I mean, we just got picked up by, like, a Magnum PR, which is, like,
Joe Murray,
and
shout out.
Yeah, we're very thankful to have her. She's quite an awesome person. We just basically need, like, you know, just yeah.
If there was ever a time for us, like, for the music to be heard by people who can help us out to become more of a self-sustaining, you know, band, then now is it's more than ever.
Has being in the music industry ever helped you romantically?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, I want you each to tell me a little story about how music has helped you romantically.
I guess, I mean, just, like, through music, I've met, like, like, being put on the spot here. Start with Peter.
I met my girlfriend that I've been dating for 8 years after we played a show back in Atlanta a long time ago. So, I mean, I don't know.
I pretty much rely
it breaks
on
down
our
the
shows
gaps.
To meet girls.
Yeah, I can't really talk to girls.
Otherwise, so like, I'm just, like, I don't get paid any attention. But, like, after our shows, like, I have, like, a slight chance with, like, a couple girls occasionally. Unless our manager takes them from us, but.
But usually not. We just have to, like, you know, kick down. Kickstart.
Yeah, the woman that I live with and my love is also a musician, and she plays guitar, and so, you know, we are friends for a long time and played music together for a while before we decided to be a couple. So, you know, in that way, It's been good for me.
I think, like, the most, like, the craziest place, I'd like to go to Japan, just because it would be, like, completely, like, you're leaving, like, your known reality, and you would definitely, like, stick out. And
Russia would be nice.
Russia.
Argentina's, I've heard, really good for me. Like,
I think it'd just be cool to go to, like, Madagascar. Far East. Eastern European countries would be nice.
Maybe.
I'd like to go back to, like, Sweden and Norway. Scandinavian countries are pretty, pretty amazing. All they're expensive.
We
hope
to make it to Alaska someday.
Alaska. We're looking to play the North Pole.
You know.
They can see Russia from there. Did you know that?